All right, thank you for listening to the music portion of Talk Saratoga. Well, we're now going into the great talk part, and we have two great guests this morning, Rory O'Connor and Peter Martin, the Peter Martin, I should say, because we have a Peter Martin Saratoga, but this one is the Peter Martin. So without further ado, we're going to start the show, and hope you enjoy it.
The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, I should have said Saratoga All-Stars because we have two great guests this morning. And we had Rory on a couple weeks ago, if you remember. And if not, you can go to the podcast page of SaratogaBroadcasting.com, which is where you'll find this show on, too. And Rory talked about Boston Spa and what was needed in Boston Spa. You know, Boston Spa is a very, very nice village, and it's going to be up and coming after the election. So this morning I want to welcome Rory O'Connor and Peter Martin.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
Good.
Well, it's not too long, and Election Day will be over.
Yep, comes up next Tuesday, 11 to 9 o'clock.
Now, why does the village have an election, let's say, in March rather than in November?
Villages are different than any other form of government in the state of New York, and so their time frames are different. We certainly found out how enjoyable it is to campaign this time of year. I think we started, when we first started going out knocking on doors, it was 6 below 0. So we immediately decided we should probably change the time of the election till the summer, but that isn't how it works. So it's because it's a village, the election period is a very short, it's only been a 5-week campaign for all intents and purposes. And again, election is next Tuesday in the village. You have to be a resident of Ballston Spa Village to vote. So if any of your listeners know anyone that lives in the village of Ballston Spa, encourage them to go vote next week.
No, you have to live there, because yeah. I was all ready to cast my ballot before I went to work.
Well, we would have loved it, but unfortunately it wouldn't have counted.
Now, you two are running on the Republican side, correct?
Yep.
Okay. But I want to give you a piece of advice that came from a crooked Democrat years ago, and that was vote early and vote often. And that was Mayor Daley from Chicago.
Yeah, and in his case, it was true.
That's what happened, yeah. But in any case, we talked about the village last time, and we certainly can do that again in our discussion this morning, but we want to get to some nuts and bolts of the campaign. The main topic is village finances, and can you give us a little history of the village finances through through time?
Yeah, villages again are different than any other form of government, and in the case of Ballston Spa, the village finances have been managed by the same people for a lot of years. And I guess the simple way to put it is the current administration, the mayor especially, trusted a couple of people to do their job, and they essentially didn't. And so for the last 4 years, the village has failed to file required audits with the state of New York. And as a result of that, the state of New York and the state controller put down a significant critical audit report last fall. That audit report essentially said, you guys aren't doing it right, you are not providing the proper accounting steps, you're not using the accounting codes that the state of New York requires, and you're not filing the audit the way you're supposed to. It was at that point in time that Peter and I got involved, along with several other individuals, on an appointed committee called the Budget Advisory Committee. That committee's met, are you ready for this? We met for almost four months, 2 days a week, 2 hours a day. And we looked into every aspect of the village, its finances, and how it got where it got, and what needed to be done to remedy the situation. And I'm proud to say that the reports that we put out, which are available on the village website if anybody's interested, were very complete and very specific in terms of what needed to be done. So the village has an accounting problem more than a financial problem. That's not necessarily the same perception that's being put out in the election, but the truth of the matter is that the problem is an accounting problem.
Okay, and let me get out a little bit to, and then we're going to get into the discussions and debates you've had with your opponents, but the perception, when I look at what's been going on back and forth, is that Boston Spa is in the worst shape ever, that the money's dry, you can't do anything because of lack of money. and, you know, I know fabrication is part of the political process. What, Peter, can you give me a little insight as someone looking at it from the outside?
Well, yes, there is issues with the money in the village, but it's not as bad, it's not as doom and gloom as everybody says. But the last 2 or 3 years, I believe, we had to take a revenue anticipation note, which is when our income, or I call income because I'm a business person, but when revenue comes in, it doesn't match when we have our expenses. So we have to borrow money on a short-term basis, usually 2 or 3 months, to get through our issues in the village. Well, this year, when Larry Woolbright and John Romano, the mayor, Larry Woolbright will be our next mayor, he's running unopposed, went to Boston Spa National Bank to get the RAN, it's called, the abbreviation. They refused us, and it was kind of shocking. I was in Arizona vacation at the time, and of course, when I'm on vacation, it's 30 degrees and snowing in Arizona, so it wasn't a great vacation.
You brought it with you.
So what happened was Larry gets out of the meeting, and he's in shock. We need the money. I mean, we need to do payroll and pay our expenses. So he reached out and just sent a text out to me and Rory. This is what happened. What do we do? Any ideas? And Rory has some contacts at Adirondack Trust. I had some contacts at Glen Falls National Bank. So between the two of us, we just texted Larry back. I was in Arizona, so they did Rory's contact in Adirondack Bank. They met, I guess, a couple days later. There was no issue getting the money. We got it immediately. And what a relief. So then what happens is they announce it at the meeting, and then the other side starts bashing us, saying no taxation without representation. Like we did the wrong thing. Like,
yeah.
I was just shocked. So here's my take of it. All right, I've been in politics for 5 weeks.
Okay.
I'm transparent about everything. I know what I know, you'll know. So I'm sitting there at this meeting saying, what am I missing here? We're just helping. It's like if a friend's in trouble, take our village. What do? You reach out to your family and friends.
Right.
You ask for suggestions. And that's what happened here. You know, our interest rate was great. I think it would have been better than we would have got from Boston Spa National Bank. So there's no more taxes involved. All we did was just try to help, and we did. And a lot has to go back to Rory. Rory had the contacts. I tell you, if you're voting for me, please, you all have to vote for Rory. He is so smart. He knows so much information. The man is incredible. And I've been working with him for 5 weeks, and I can't say enough about this man. He would be a gigantic asset to this village. And I'm going off pace here.
No, you're not. You can go off pace. I mean, as I should have explained out the air, this is your show.
Now, here's the problem. Roy says to me sometimes, I talk too much. I only talk too much when I'm really involved in an issue and I'm energized about it and I really care. Other than that, I don't talk much at all. My wife will tell you. But when I'm involved, like this here, I mean, I'm committed, and I know Rory's committed. And going back to this Rand, I was just shocked how the other side was portraying. It was in the paper. They said no taxation without representation. And I'm going, what are they talking about? Just trying to help.
Yeah.
That's all we were doing.
Well, there's very few cities and towns that don't need a backup in case of emergencies or to fill in a gap somewhere along the line. It's not like you're borrowing $500,000 and you're going to leave it out hanging out there for 10 years. I mean, everybody needs a shot to fill in the gaps, and then you pay it off. But
I think we're only going to need it for 2 or 3 months this year, and I don't think we're going to need it after this year. What do you think, Rory?
No, again, to go back to the finances, it's very easy, all right, for people to point fingers and assess blame and ask questions without answers.
Right.
We dug in and got the answers, okay? The mayor-elect, or soon-to-be mayor, Larry Wilbright, when the village failed to find a new treasurer, since the treasurer walked as well as the internal control officer after the state audit came out, we were able to find a treasurer. And we brought in a guy who's very experienced, worked with Larry when he was on the school board. His record with the school board for 12 years is he turned the entire school district around and improved the budgeting rather dramatically. They built new buildings and raised the level of the Boston Spa school system in terms of respect and rating in the state of New York to one of the best from one of the worst. So he reaches out to this fellow who's retired, John Duffy, and John Duffy came in and he was there like I'm going to say maybe a week, and he dug into the numbers and said it's not anywhere near as bad as everybody's making it out to be. And in fact, he predicts this year, for the first time, we're going to have $250,000 contingency fund or surplus at the end of the year. Last year it was only $30,000, which was unacceptable to the state of New York, and $250,000 is not enough either. But it's certainly moving in the right direction.
Well, sure.
Nobody's talking about that. All they want to talk about is how we went out and surreptitiously got a new bank. It's ludicrous. All right. The reality of the situation is a revenue anticipation note is just what you described. It's a note that municipalities use periodically when they have bills coming in and the revenues haven't caught up with the bills. So they borrow the money to pay the bills, the revenue comes in, and they pay back the note.
Right.
Last year, the Village of Boston Spa borrowed what, Pete? 600 last year.
600, okay.
600 last year. They paid it back in 8 months.
Yeah.
This year, the RAN is only 500, and it'll be paid back in the same time or less.
Yeah.
So, is it smart to take out a RAN? No, it isn't, but it's common. What's more important, and this is what we want to concentrate on, is taking a look at how the money flows in when the bills come and start to account for it better so that you've got the revenue when the bill comes.
Right.
The village accounting system is the problem, and I've been saying this for 5 weeks to people. They just didn't do the proper accounting. And why? I'm going to say poor oversight. I'm going to say lackadaisical. I'm going to say the mayor trusted them to be doing the job and they didn't. There's a bunch of reasons. None of that matters. It's all done.
It's done. Well, one of the things I found, and to the audience, anybody that's from Boston Spa that wants to call in and ask a question, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, and our phone number here in the studio is 518-580-5783. And if you call, we disguise your voice so nobody knows who you are. But get answers to questions, so you give a call. You know, Boston Spa is a very, very good community, and it can only be better. And if it does get better, watch out Saratoga, because it has a unique charm to it. But what I was going to say to Peter and to Roy. The last show, Peter, first 15 minutes was about Roy, how great of a guy he is, and
you're making me embarrassed.
I know, but and he is someone that you would want as a friend.
Yes.
But in what we were talking about, or what Roy was talking about, in you know, just letting things go along, not having a sound financial, keeping financial records. We've gone through that, Roy and I, when he was in Saratoga. We tried changing the form of government in Saratoga. And one of the things we found out, and that is still happening now, because our last movement lost by 10 votes out of 9,000. But you need people in key positions that know what they're doing in those positions. Because if you don't, they can slip up, and it's very hard to get someone out, because 90% of the time, elections are popular elections, not people that know what they're talking about elections, you know. So I can understand, if you don't have the proper accounting procedures, how it can get away from you, and you should have people in there that know. But I also want to give a weather report while we're in between topics here. It's sunny and 200 degrees today. Oh, no, that's just in here. But anyway, all right. So we know a little bit about the finances, and we can get into that a little more in a bit if you want. And the RAND note, which I think every community has. I mean, you need a fallback to fill in the gaps, but I want to know what each of you have the qualifications to serve.
Okay, so on my background, I used to be a store manager for Grand Union 15 years. Stores that did $70 million a year in sales, 300-400 employees. My background is pretty much finances, budgets, profit and loss statements. This is stuff that the village hasn't been doing the last 4 years. If you go back to the state audit, they said pretty much two people were responsible for what happened in our village. I mean, the oversight wasn't there, but two people should have been in charge of what was going on. They didn't do their job, and I talked to one of them, and I'll never forget what he said to me for the rest of my life. I asked him about the budget, and he didn't want to give me numbers, and I couldn't understand why, because I'm very good. I'm a business person. So he said to me, you don't need numbers to make a budget. Let me say that again. You do not need numbers to make a budget. Well, I was shocked. So when he said that to me, I walked out of the room. I said, okay, so I know where we're at. And the guy didn't make any sense to me. So I was really disappointed. So, and the other thing, you know, finances I'm very good at, but I'm great with people. I can look at a problem, talk to you within minutes, listen to what you're going to say the whole time, show the utmost respect, let's come up with a resolution. If we can't, we just keep trying. I never get upset about anything, or if I get upset, you won't know it.
Right.
And then going forward, next morning, if it's still not settled, I'll call you, let's have a cup of coffee and figure it out. But I really enjoy people. I've been in business, and the business is the most important thing. Village Photo in Boston Spa. I've been there with my wife for 18 years.
Okay.
This is how I've met all the people in the village. And even now, the last 2 weeks, my store has been a revolving door of people coming in, telling me different issues we have to fix. And I take the time to talk to them. I've called them up. I've gone to their house. I'm just that kind of guy. I feel it's time for me to give back to the village. 18 years, and that's a long time to be in business. We've been profitable every year, me and my wife, and it's because of the support of the people that live in that village.
Isn't it a beautiful thing about a village that people can walk up to you, and as someone running for office or as a village official, you can take your time and talk to them, and you know, you can't do that in some cities. I won't name any that begins with an S, but there are areas that you just can't talk to officials. But I love that, especially the one I know, Boston Spa. I mean, it's like Cheers. It's a place where everybody knows everybody. And you know,
Rick, that's a great point. And I have to tell everybody, there's going to be certain times a year where I'm busy. I'm working 7 days a week at my store. But 6 months out of the year, I'm extremely busy. The other 6 months, I'm not. But even when I'm busy, I'll take your name, number, I'll call you back. I'll try to get an answer. One thing I do know, I don't have all the answers. Like, for instance, we were at the debate, there was a zoning question. I never dealt with zoning in my life, right? I should have just said that. Rory answered. Rory knew everything about zoning. But then the next morning, I'm up at 4 o'clock, and you know what I'm doing? I'm reading 4 hours about zoning. Mm-hmm. My wife's into real estate also. I'm asking her about zoning. I understand it a lot now.
Yeah.
So I admit, I don't know everything, but I know people, and I know finances, and I really think I can move us in the right direction with Rory. We need Rory with us.
Well, you know, as a resident, I would much rather go to an official and ask a question and have them come back to me and say, you know what, I cannot give you a complete answer, which is how I operate, but tomorrow I'm going to look into it and I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. And I respect someone more than that than having someone give me a line of baloney just to give me an answer maybe of what I want to hear.
Yeah, and that's already happened. That's happened twice. And I talked to Larry, I talked to Rory, we came up with an answer, and I called the guy back the next day. And he's definitely a Democrat, that person, but I think he appreciated it. And you know what? I'm not looking or begging for anybody's vote. I'm just being who I am at this point. If they want somebody like me, and I'm completely transparent about everything, then that's great. If they don't, well, then they're going in a different direction.
You know what? I believe, especially small-time politics or small-town politics, it shouldn't be about personality issue. It should be about people that know what they want to do and the enthusiasm they want to bring to the village. And so if a Democrat comes to you and gets an answer and is happy with you and says, you know what, you've got my vote, even though I'm not a Republican, and I don't like what Trump's doing, which, you know, they're a little insane on that end, but political parties, it's about the person, what they know, how they act.
It is absolutely about people in a small town, all right? You ask about experience, I'll just give you a brief rundown. I started my career in corporate America, and I managed a huge consumer goods operation for a company out in the western part of the state. Had a $3.5 million budget, managed a staff of about 20 people, and essentially was responsible for motivation of a large sales force. From there, I went into the consulting business, and I was a crisis manager of all things. I was brought into a number of different companies over a couple of year period. A crisis manager is hired by a company to come in and just jump in and take over when the existing staff isn't able to do the job properly. I was successful at that. I was involved in business turnarounds, most notably, many people in Saratoga are familiar with this name, but way back in the day when the Internal Revenue Service had locked the factory, I got involved with Cerrada Bicycles, with Benny Cerrada.
Oh, yeah.
And myself and a local accountant, Rick Saxton, spent a considerable amount of time over about a two-year period working with Ben to get the company on a more stable ground, and we did turn it around, and we were successful in helping Ben sell the property. So I understand what it's like to have big budgets, yeah. And I understand what it's like to have no money at all, but you still got to run a business and pay people. I've been in the real estate business for 30 years. I'm a successful real estate broker. I'm also a builder. I was responsible for the management and the construction and the sale of the village at Saratoga, which is probably one of the most successful subdivisions ever created in the village, or in the city of Saratoga Springs. I also teach real estate. I teach ethics. And I decided to get involved in the village election because I sincerely believe in the village lifestyle. I was born and raised in a small town in Rotterdam. I like small towns. I like the idea that you can walk into the local coffee shop and everybody says hello to you.
Yeah.
And Saratoga used to be like that, Rick, way back in the day. I know you remember that. So the bottom line is, I saw the problems. I listened to people talk about how terrible it was, and I decided if it's that bad, maybe I could help and maybe I could do something. And Pete said the other day, he's been a politician for 5 weeks, all right? Me too. Yeah. I'm not a politician, okay? What I am is I'm a businessman that solves problems, all right? You can't run your own business for 30 years without knowing that cash flow and those types of things are critically important. And also, you got to be able to account for the money and know where it goes and who you got to pay when.
Sure.
So I think between the two of us, Peter is a much stronger people person than I am, and he does. He knows everybody, okay? I mean, he's taken pictures of everybody's kids in Ballston Spa, for God's sakes, for the sports programs and everything else. Between the two of us, with a guy like Larry Wilbright's budgeting experience from primarily the school board, I think we make a very powerful team to help get the village go in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that differentiates us from the other folks that are running, okay, is that we're looking at the future and the positive aspects of the village, and sure, we've got problems. I mean, what municipality doesn't, all right?
Oh, exactly.
You know, the point is that if you are willing to get the budgeting to the point where it's functioning and you're building the necessary reserve funds for the people, you can then begin to talk about how are we going to fix some of the things that need to be fixed. You can't just charge out and say, okay, we're going to repair this, we're going to do this, we're going to buy a new one of these, without having the math properly organized.
Well, exactly.
That's what we're going to do.
And I think that's a good way to be a politician. You can't say you're going to do this, 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 and this, but what you can do is build a foundation, telling them the foundation you're going to build, which will allow us to do this in the future. I can't promise you right now that when we get elected, this is what we're going to do.
Right. And we don't.
You got to build that foundation. And I know from the articles in the paper and talking with different people, that's exactly what you're doing.
We are, and we've actually started to do some things. Okay, as I mentioned, we're not even elected. All right, but we're working to solve problems or to at least look at the things. The other thing that's important, and I think Peter's going to be able to help us a great deal with this, is that the employees of our village are the most dedicated people I've ever met. When we talked to every one of them when we were on the Budget Advisory Committee, these folks care about the village and they care about what they do, but they've never been empowered. Okay, they've never been given the proper management, okay, to be able to do their jobs perhaps more efficiently, mm-hmm. even perhaps even better. They had more ideas on how to fix things, okay, than the shall we say the management of the village. We had an experience yesterday. We have an area up near the fairgrounds on Fairground Avenue, which this time of year, especially when it goes to 70 degrees.
Yeah, and I got a call about it yesterday, so what I did right away is I said, okay, Rory, I'm getting out of work at 4. We got to go up there and see what the heck's going on. I'm sorry.
So, that's all right. If you're on my internet station, you could use any word you want. But
so right away, I said to Rory, I said, we got to go up there, you know, at least show them the decency to see what's going on. And what we've seen was a little bit shocking, but again, people are calling us to go help them with a problem. So yeah. Rory, go tell them.
So we go up there, and yeah, there's a lake. We had a big old flood in the belly sag by the back side of the fairgrounds where the main entrance is. And it happens every year, all right? The ground is frozen. There's 12 to 14 inches of frost, and all of a sudden Mother Nature decides to make it spring. So there's drainage there, but it doesn't function properly. So we talked to the residents. We were fortunate enough to talk to two of our really high-quality DPW guys. And I built a subdivision. I understand what storm drainage is, so I started asking questions. And the next thing I know, I find out exactly what the problem is. We talk about the DPW guys, and I talk about, well, what would it really take to fix it? And it's certainly going to be significant, but is it earth-shattering in terms of costs? I don't think so. Can it be fixed? Absolutely. It's all about you just can't talk about things, you need to react and go out and let the voters know that there's people that actually do care. And to your point, you can't fix everything immediately. It's going right. This process for us is going to be at least a year and a half, 2 years before we're stable budget wise. But we certainly are looking at all of the issues and trying to prioritize things to deal with the most important things first.
Sure. Well, I don't like, you know, people think I knock Saratoga too much, and maybe I do, but as you said, people see things different than maybe a political side of it. We had a fire engine that was 19 years old that went to a fire. And while it was putting out the fire, it caught on fire. So not having a plan on replacing equipment every so often, even if a fire truck can let's say, last 20 years or 15 years, maybe after 9 or 10 years, you sell it to a village that needs a fire truck in a gap.
That's a great idea.
Or whatever. Have a plan, you know. And I think they do that with the police cars, though. They you know, move them in and out after a certain period of years. But you can't do it off of the top of your head.
No, and in our village, well, first off, to the police department and the fire department, the ambulance department, those people who put their life on the line every day, I take my hat off to you. We have three very, very good departments, and you're right, our fire trucks are ancient, and there hasn't been a plan. And just recently, Billy Lewis, who's the fire chief, I believe about 6 months ago, came out with a budget. Well, first off, negotiated with the towns for more money for the fire departments. They did a fantastic job. Came up with a budget where we can afford two new trucks. Now, what we have to do as a village is make sure the fire department gets all their money. I don't believe before that was the case because of our accounting issues. Mm-hmm. Looking at their budget for 5 minutes, and I asked them at the village meeting, are these numbers right? Because, you know, you can look at a budget, but the numbers aren't right. Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
He assured me they were. They're self-efficient. They won't need very little money from the village. So we've gotten that headed in the right direction. Our police department is one of the best departments in the area. I can't imagine a village without it. And we've been endorsed by the PBA. I don't think that's ever happened before in the village. And the other side has made it clear that we didn't support the police department. Now,
where'd they get that from?
Yes, I don't understand. I mean, if you heard it once, Roy, am I right? We've heard it several times. And
yeah, and then we got endorsed by the PBA.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, of course you're going to be, you know, you're going to be fighting on the opposite side all the time. That's the name of the game, you know, but the person that comes out on top are the ones that have the facts. I just keep that in your mind. I want to try and get a public service announcement in. We're halfway through the show, actually on the other side, and I want to try and get these in, so bear with us.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. Like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic. Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids, because when you talk, they hear you.
Yes, I'm missing you. It's not the same as touching you. Oh. And every time you whisper my name, I wanna run to you. We meet together.
Okay, the public service announcements you just heard were brought to you by the Center for Disease Control. Please be aware. Back to Roy and Peter now. And I hope you did learn something from those PSAs, Roy. Anyway, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. We're here with Roy O'Connor and Peter Martin, and they're running for trustee spots on the Village Board in Ballston Spa. And the election is this coming Tuesday, believe it or not, which is the 17th of March.
No, it's the 19th.
19th of March. 19th of March. How can I forget that? That's St. Joseph's Day. Roy, I want to ask you, what time are the polls open?
The polls open at 11 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. People north of Decatur, Ross, in the village will vote at the Union Firehouse. People south of Decatur, Ross, vote at the Eagle Mat Lee Firehouse. So okay. North is Union, south is Eagle Mat Lee.
Okay. Now, before we get into, you know, we talked a little bit about the fire and police department. You know, I want to ask Peter this because he's been, and Roy too. I mean, they've both been businessmen in Ballston Spa for quite a few years, and you talked about the ease of talking with people on the street about, you know, about everything. How has it been since you've declared running for office and talking with people? Has it been a different experience of people discussing issues with you, or rather than just like a business person that they, you know?
Well, for me, we've been talking a lot about issues, and we hit almost every door in Ballston Spa. But no, it's pretty much the same because I relate to people on a personal basis. So the way, and I'm better one-on-one talking to somebody. So when they come into the store, I talk about their family. Well, now when they come into the store, we talk about a couple issues with the village. Okay. And you know what? Everything's not bad in the village.
Oh,
just
no.
Some things just have to be corrected. But, you know, I'm very comfortable talking to people. And as soon as they leave, so I don't forget, of course, I started a list and I just start putting everything down, and I'm going to try to do one thing at a time.
That's called age, by the way.
Yes,
because
that's right.
I have it myself. When my wife sends me to the grocery store, if it's more than two items, I have to write everything down.
My wife has to text it to me now because okay. I do forget also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Roy, I want to bring in something you said, too, is that... You spoke with employees that work for the city, and you know, in 99% of situations when you're running for office, that's where you get honest answers from. When they don't have, when they can talk to you one-on-one and not have their
that's absolutely true, because we got a lot of honest answers. You're right about that.
Yes, you do. And that's what you can use as far as in your planning. I mean, you take, you know.
As I said, the input that we got from the employees of the village was invaluable to the Budget Advisory Committee. I've managed a lot of people in my career, and what I find about management is that if a person is allowed to create their own objectives and their own goals with the, under the guidance of a strong management team that provides the direction that things are supposed to go, if you empower an individual to have control over their own environment, they will, in almost all cases, do a much better job. That's been denied to the folks in the village for a lot of years, we certainly plan to change that. And we need more involvement from everyone in the village and village government, because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so we've been encouraging people to come to the village board meetings, for example, to talk to us about their ideas and what they think would be ways that the village could be improved. In general, the idea is to involve everybody, manage properly, account for everything in a manner that the state of New York dictates needs to be done, and move the village forward, which we have no doubt we can do, and we have no doubt that the village will become even more successful than it is.
And increase transparency.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I'm on. Everything's going to be transparent. You know, in real estate, three things are important: location, location, location. Well, in this village, three things are important to me: people, people, and people. We all have to work together after this election to get things going. At the debate, I want to start a town hall meeting once a month, once every 3 months, instead of at the village hall meetings, because I want people just to come in and just tell us what's the issue. Have the department heads all there and give them an answer back.
Well, you know, I'm glad you two are running as a team, because not one person has 100% of the qualities that appeal to a diverse group of people that live in a town or a city. And when you have two people that know what they're doing and running as a team, I think that's a perfect combination. And Roy, you alluded to the fact that citizens should be involved in their government. Otherwise, they are part of the problem, because how would they know if they didn't get involved who to vote for? Are the people that are working for them doing the job that they should be doing, or are they just popular and they just keep electing them because, geez, he's a great guy, I know him. But you got to know what's going on in this, in your village, in the cities, and it really is sad how little people get involved. So you got to get that, and in a village, I think you would have more of a.
Of the things I think that I learned, and I think Peter would agree with me on this, is that people can point fingers and lay blame and just be highly critical, which is a very easy thing to do if you think about it. But if you don't have a solution, if you don't have an answer, then what is gained by pointing out the obvious? Right. And that's my argument, all right? Politics is a very weird game, and I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest with you, because it's more about the people and the people's money, to me, and accounting for it properly and spending it in a manner that enables everything to get done properly and build reserves so that we can keep taxes low and get things done. But if all we're up against, if we're trying to get cooperation from everybody, you can't much cooperate with somebody who's just blaming and pointing fingers and saying they want to fix this, okay, or they want to fix that. Well, we all want to fix it. How are you going to do that? Where are you going to come up with the money?
Right.
Okay, that's the thing that's fascinating to me. Everybody wants to fix infrastructure. Okay, the folks that are running against us, that's like their number one thing. They're going to repair the infrastructure. Ask them how they're going to do that. They don't have a clue.
Yeah, and also in every village, every town, every city in New York State, they all have infrastructure problems. Well, we all do. So, you know, it's...
Give me a town, village, city, or as small or as big as you can be, and infrastructure is a big problem because almost every city in the country is old. And there's still wooden sewer lines on East Avenue in Saratoga Springs leading to the track. I mean, every place needs infrastructure.
Sure. Infrastructure is not a hot topic. It's not sexy. It's not pretty. It's not a new building. It's not a new development. It's not a new park, okay? And so it doesn't get the attention that it should get. But let me tell you something. When the old wooden sewer pipes start to give out, all right, everybody is excited and upset about it. And all of a sudden, how come we didn't fix that?
Right. Well, because people don't see it.
That's right.
And people that know how bad it is, that do see it, they think they're full of baloney. I mean, people do not see under the roads.
Well, no. And you know, I remember vividly, and I'm sure you do too, when the Saratoga Springs went through the renovation of Church Street, where the building code or the city code required that these guys who were excavating and putting in new pipe and all of the rest of that had to fill in the hole every night. Okay. No, they did. You remember? It took forever to get Church Street done. All right? Because they put all these restraints on these guys. Understandable that for the rationale may have been there. But... you then wonder why the costs run so high. It's because you make it impossible for people to do their job in an expeditious fashion.
You're doing it doubly, and when
every night,
have to, yeah,
every single night they had to fill it in and dig it up in the morning. It was amazing to me.
I can see if it's sturdy below, because they did that once on Washington. They dug it up and left it open, and it was in the dead of winter. It was 20 below, and the water main broke that they had just put in, but. I know what you mean. There's waste in government that if you had knowledgeable people in there, you could correct it. And especially if you had sound accounting practices, you would have the money to devote to that.
Because there is money available, okay, from the state of New York. For municipalities, but you have to have all your ducks in a row in order to be able to access those dollars.
Which I promise we will very shortly after the election.
Now, a lot of times, too, as we talked about before the show, when you were cueing me in on, you know, some of the things that were going on that a non-resident wouldn't know, but when you get a grant, that's great, but a lot of times you have to match that dollar for dollar on what you get, correct?
Well, that's exactly the point. One of our opponents, okay, is a grant writer, and clearly she's a successful one, primarily in the not-for-profit world. Well, the not-for-profit world is not the real world. It's a completely different environment. I don't know much about grants, I'll be honest with you, but I've asked some people, and I'm told that, yeah, there's all kinds of grant money out there for municipalities, but in most cases, the grant has to be matched by something from the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, it could be money, okay, it could be reduction or increase in services, it can be a great number of things. So it's not... To try to budget and run a municipality based on grants is not a long-term solution.
Oh, no. No, it's not. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of times there's so many grants out there that you're vying with other municipalities
they're not just lined up to give Ballston Spa money, I can assure you.
I can understand that. I want to talk a little bit, I want you to talk a little bit about taxes. In the village, and it's going to...
taxes. Last year, this is why I got involved with the village. They said they wanted to raise our taxes 24% last year. So I read it in the paper. It was dinner time. I said to my wife, I think I better go to that meeting to see if I can help. And I went to that meeting, and again, I was very disappointed. The treasurer wasn't even at that meeting, so they couldn't give us any answers. Yeah,
can you believe mama. That?
Yeah, right. So then they raised our taxes 17%, which was fine with me, because I believe in 2009 they reduced our taxes 10%.
Okay.
So over all these years, from 2009 till 18, we had 2% increase. 2% increase for very little increases. So, you know, going back, we should have never decreased taxes 10%. So it hasn't been a disaster. We just got away from looking at our numbers. We didn't know what's coming in and what was going out. No accountability. That's the whole bottom line. Being a business person, it's hard to believe. I would not run my business like that at all.
No, you can't. I mean, expenses go up every year. And if you're not raising, now you don't have to raise, like you said, you don't have to raise taxes 12%, 17%. If you raise it a half a percent or 1% a year to kind of cover a little bit of those costs, then you can supplement with other avenues of income.
Exactly.
And not have to hit the homeowners.
Yes, and there's so many other ways we can raise revenue without raising our taxes. We got to think out of the box. Like, for instance, our pool needs to be resurfaced for the kids, for the mm-hmm. children. And somebody says, well, we're not spending the money there. Well, all my life I coached my kids in all their sports, and now my grandkids in sports. So, yeah, we're going to fix the pool if we have to fix at least that's my opinion. Now,
right.
Four other people will say no. So that's how I feel. But let's start a GoFundMe account. Do fundraisers. So let's say it's $90,000 to fix the pool. I know myself, I would give $500-$600, and you heard it, I would give it to fix the pool. I can afford it. Some people can't. But we have to think outside the box now. This
right.
is a different time. And I tell you, Rory had some very, very good ideas about how to raise revenue. Right, Rory?
I think you hit it, Pete. The idea is you have to be creative. You have to think outside the box. You have to work with the Downtown Business Association, which is a remarkably successful organization. It's the Ballston Village of Ballston Spa Chamber of Commerce, for all intents and purposes. And the village government has to begin to work more closely with the local business people in order to come up with ideas on how to raise revenue or how to maximize revenue from the things that are already being done. I want to just go back to taxes a moment, because
sure.
I think that this has become a huge issue. Let's start out with the fact that most people probably aren't aware. A village is the only form of government in the state of New York that exists solely at the discretion of the residents. Now, what does that mean? That simply means, all right, that the residents of a village agree that they're going to pay the cost, okay, of making the village viable, because they want to live in a village. If they decide they don't want to live in a village, they can dissolve it. They can make it go away. True fact. There's an awful lot of people in Ballston Spa that want Ballston Spa to continue to be a village. And our job, as when we get elected, will be to be sure that they can do that. Now, back in 2009, the village board made a decision to eliminate two civilian dispatchers, okay, fire and police, and utilize the county services. That resulted in a savings to the taxpayers of $250,000. The mayor and the village board at the time decided that the best thing they could do after they saved the village $250,000 was reduce the taxes by 10%. Now, that was an admirable thing to do, I suppose, okay? I think it, from a business point of view, it was not the smartest move in the world by any stretch of the imagination. So there's no tax increases. So let's see, I'm going to try to get the numbers right, 2009 to 2011, okay?
Okay, hold that thought, because
yep.
we have a caller.
Okay.
So we'll take that call. Morning, caller.
Hey, Rick, it's Nancy. You may have already answered this question. I haven't listened to the whole show, so I apologize if you've already answered this question. But I've heard through the grapevine that Ballston Spa is getting rid of their police force. How is that? And if that's yes, how is that going to affect taxes? And the other question is, what are you going to do to attract people to downtown Ballston Spa? There's a lot of really wonderful shops in Ballston Spa, but I don't see heavy promotion like you do in Saratoga. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay, Nancy, thanks for the call. Okay, Roy.
Well, great question, Nancy, and thanks for calling in. I've been on this show, I couldn't tell you how many times, and you're the first person I've ever known that called in, so good for you, woman.
And she always has good questions, too.
Okay, there is no plan, there is no intention, there is nothing but bad rumor that we are interested in getting rid of the police department. That is not the case. And in fact, I said it earlier, I'll say it again, we were endorsed as a team, Peter and Larry and I, by the police BBA Association. It's the first time they've endorsed political candidates in anyone's memory in the village. We are strong supporters of the police department, and we also are strong supporters of the fact that we believe the police department, in concert with working with us moving forward, can enable the village to get better services and hopefully become more efficient. So that's number one. The second part of her question was the...
How to bring more people to...
Boy, that's a beauty, and the BSBPA, the Boston Spa Business and Professional Association, has done an exceptional job. I will say that the village government, okay, has to step up and work more closely with these people. Boston Spa does have a lot of wonderful shops. My friend Peter's Photo Store is one of them. But we also have a history that people don't realize how deep it runs. People don't realize that, for example, that before Saratoga became Saratoga, Boston Spa, believe it or not, was the place the world came to vacation and party. There's a history in the village that needs to be explored and promoted. And I think together with the BSBPA and other citizens groups to get involved with a form of government, with a new government that thinks like you're asking, to promote and grow the village, we're going to be just fine with doing that.
Well, see, Nancy's a historian, mm-hmm. and she loves to see villages and cities bring out that history and make it prominent. And I just want to tell you what I've heard from a couple people, and hopefully you can take this under consideration. A museum. The
Brookside.
Village Museum.
Brookside Museum.
If you could expand that a little more to include maybe artifacts and include more history of old Boston Spa, and because a friend of mine used to work for the Fulton County Museum, and they had old industry things there. I mean, the glove cutting things
right,
and
right.
A lot of different things, but. And I think, because I know people go to that museum, and I think that, now this is just what people have told me, so, you know, just take that and put it under your hat. But I think, to Nancy's point, there's a lot of rumors out there, and those are questions people should be asking you to.
Right.
Get the facts and not the scare tactics.
And vote on March 19th from 11 to 9 o'clock at the Union Firehouse if you're north of the Kateros, and at the Eagle Mat Lee if you're south of the Kateros.
Okay.
We would appreciate your support. Peter?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the first time for me doing anything like this, and I had a great time. Rick, you're a great host. Thank you.
Oh, you guys are great, and good luck to you. As I said before, I'm glad you're running as a team because... you guys are just great together, and I think that's how you should go in.